Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Season of Sports, where we can officially say football is coming back. And I've got a good friend of mine joining me. He is a presenter, pundit, poet, and podcaster, Bleacher Report's own Jack Collins. How are you, buddy?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
Very good. The poet bit. Yeah, talk me through the poet bit.
Well, when we started doing BL Football Ranks, I started throwing in some poetry to start episodes off, and you know, I've just sort of grown into it a little bit. So I often have a poem at the beginning of Ranks, and it, you know, a football related poem, do a couple of bits and bobs, and off we go. So they've got some traction. So it's putting my literature degree to work in some way, at least.
Well, there you go. You are a man of many talents, as some would say. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And as I said earlier, football is coming back officially. Looks as if we're going to have all the major leagues, obviously barring France, restarted in the next couple of weeks here. Premier League have announced the 17th of June as a start date. La Liga's back on the 11th. And we here in Italy are back with Serie A on the 20th, but obviously Coppa Italia to deal with on the 13th. How excited are you?
It's yeah, I'm very, very excited. I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk in the interim period, and I've loved having the Bundesliga back. But obviously expanding that to all the leagues is going to be joyful in so many ways. I mean, I really did hit the depths. I watched quite a lot of Belarusian football. I watched some Korean football, and don't get me wrong, I enjoyed myself, but the return of things that I can watch on the TV rather than on a sort of weird little stream on my laptop is something that excites me majorly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I'm right with you there. I mean, us the deepest football fans will go to any lengths to watch games, but it's much easier to watch Köln and Leipzig tonight rather than some of the Korean teams. At least we know what's going on.
Yeah, so, exactly.
We're gonna go through some of the leagues here just to kind of get your thoughts before they restart, and I guess how it could all look and how it's all shaping up to be. And I want to start with La Liga, to be honest with you. We've got the 11th of June. We've got a date with the Seville Derby, which is a little bit close to your heart, I believe. The game starting us off on that night with the Betis Sevilla derby. How do you? I know you're a Betis fan, right?
I am indeed. I mean, I was supposed to be at this game, which kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Supposed
to be my first Seville derby, but alas, we are here, and you know, it's not gonna be quite to plan. But I'm excited that Betis are back, and it's one of those funny things that, you know, they were the first real team I kind of adopted in later life, and so I've been following them for 6-7 years now. And it, you know, when you grow up as a football fan, I grew up as a Fulham fan, it's just kind of instilled in you. That's what you are, because my dad was a Fulham fan, my granddad was a Fulham fan when he came over from Ireland, and all of these things have just been, there's no choice in the matter. You are a Fulham fan and that is it. But when I started to pick up teams later in life, it was Betis that were the first club to really draw me in, and I got really, really intrigued by their club, and I loved the way that they played sort of kamikaze style football for so many years. And then, yeah, I think that's interesting because it's the first time you really get the kind of freedom of choice in many ways to kind of fall in love with the club. And I then spent years kind of developing that affinity. And so I'm delighted that they're going to be the ones on the big stage when it comes back. And look, Sevilla are having an unbelievable season, hurt me as much as it does to say it, third in the league. And Betis have been below par for quite a lot of it. It was a really good summer, a lot of additions. Nabil Fekir obviously coming in, and he was the headline signing, but some really good pickups from Betis. And it felt like this was a squad ready to kick on from sort of a Europa League spot and really start to kind of challenge maybe the top four. And it hasn't quite worked out. And there's a lot of talent in this squad, and we saw them beat Real Madrid a couple of weeks before the lockdown was enforced. And so there is ability here and quite a lot of talent, but just quite haven't performed. And I'm really intrigued to see how this plays out against Sevilla side that have been very much the, you know, not surprise package, because Sevilla are Sevilla, but they've been really good this season. They're above Atleti, they're above Real Sociedad, who have been probably the real surprise package, above Getafe, Valencia, big sides, good sides. And I'm really intrigued to see how this plays out.
I guess also losing your coach for Betis hasn't helped either, has it?
Yeah, it's a weird one. Obviously, when Kike left, and I think there was many tears shed, but there was also this kind of feeling that he'd maybe taken a squad as far as he could. I think among a lot of people around, it was one of those ones where his football is beautiful on the eye, easy to watch. I love the fact that he plays the way that his philosophy demands, and he won't really take no for an answer if it means stretching that philosophy. But I think there was also a side of people in Betis who were like, it might need to stretch a bit more, and it might need to be a bit more resilient and a little bit more durable in some way. So I think there was that, and that kind of element of it felt like it was kind of the end of the road for both parties. And then for that to then fizzle out a little bit, and Ruby came in with quite a, you know, an expanding reputation. He'd done well in his last job, and you kind of expected things to jump on a notch, and it hasn't quite worked for him, but there are kind of flickers of life here and there. So, you know, it's been a kind of transitional season, and that's obviously quite weird, but also, you know, you come in, you expect this side to kick on, and yet there's always going to be talk of Fekir being poached. There's always going to be talk of the big names going elsewhere. And that in itself is also a bit of a, you know, half and half. You're like, oh, is this a transitional year, or is this just how Betis are now? So yeah, it's really intrigued to see how the break changes things, because, I mean, if anything, there's, you know, recovery from injuries and all those different elements of it. But also it's to see who can kick out of the break and kick out of a slumber fastest, right? You know, we saw at the start of the Bundesliga coming back in the first half of Schalke Dortmund, it really did take a little while for teams to kind of find their groove and get going. And I think we're starting to see the Bundesliga pick up spice and drama now a little bit more. But at the start, it was a little bit cagey. So I'm intrigued how that plays out, given that this is a derby like the Olympia derby was for Bundesliga.
Yeah, absolutely. But I couldn't have picked a much better fixture, really, to get La Liga going. And I mean, for me, Betis has always been one of those clubs where they're such a giant in Spanish football and such rich tradition that you always want them to do well, because if they are a club that is doing well, then there's not many better places to play your football than over there in Seville. So that's a really nice game to look forward to. But to break La Liga down a little bit further, we'll look at the title race. Obviously, two horse races, you can say, between Barca and Real. 2 points the gap. Who do you fancy kind of out of this? I know it's difficult to say, but, you know, do you think Barca will hold on to that lead?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one to call. I think that Barcelona probably have the form, given, you know, they've lost once in the last six. But in, you know, obviously that counts for very little now that we've had a 2.5 month break. Look, this is a Real Madrid team, and I'm going to use this phrase again, but in transition. And I think it is, you know, that still that moving away from Cristiano being part of that side. But also, you know, we saw them spend quite a lot of money last summer, the likes of Ferland Mendy, who's, you know, improved rapidly after quite a weird start. We haven't seen that much of Eder Militao. Luka Jovic has had a very strange season where he just doesn't seem to be trusted by Zidane. And then when you look at all of those things put together, it would seem to be a year where Real Madrid are working their way to something else. And yet they're 2 points off. If they hadn't lost in the last match week, which, you know, arguably they shouldn't have done, they would be top of the league going into this break. And Barcelona seem to be a club teetering on the edge of crisis. And, you know, it's weird to say that, given that, you know, these are the two behemoths of world football, if you will. They are, you know, two of the biggest clubs on the planet, and yet Barcelona at the moment seem to be constantly just on the edge of falling down a ravine, and you know, it's that man Leo Messi who keeps dragging them out of it by the skin of their teeth in so many different ways. But they do feel like they've got mistakes and slip-ups and errors in them this year, and Real Madrid also have shown that they are not a particularly dominant, you know, force in as much as they have been in recent years. Obviously, it's easy to say that when they've lost three times all year in the league, but like, actually, they haven't massively performed a lot of the time, I think. And you saw the City game in the Champions League before the break, and obviously that tie isn't over, but it felt like City were the team, the bigger team, and Real Madrid felt like the kind of almost underdog, which is nuts to say of a team of Real Madrid's stature. And yet there's a nagging feeling that I think Barcelona will just have enough to get it over the line. But I think that their dominance and their supremacy is probably about to come to an end. If not this season, then maybe next.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's a strange situation at the top in Spain there, because, say, Barca, not the powerhouse that they once were. I guess they were for the last few years. And Real Madrid, a team in transition that's, again, you know, looking to kind of build a new spine and build a new
year almost.
Exactly, new era, exactly. So it's something that it's interesting to see. And I think the most interesting race is going to be those races for the other Champions League spots in the European places. Because I think from Sevilla in third to Valencia in seventh is a 5-point gap. Now, we played Sevilla twice in the Europa League earlier this year with Karabag, and you know they've got a heck of a squad, and obviously they can rotate a lot and do some good things. I mean, which of these teams do you like the best? You see Sevilla staying in that sort of third place. You see Atleti making a run, because Atleti again, they almost is the end near for Simeone. I mean, I know they had a great win against Liverpool in the Champions League, but it almost seems like that run could be coming to an end as well.
Yeah, they don't feel like the defensive powerhouse that they used to be. And obviously their major issue this year has been drawing too many games rather than losing them. But they feel like they're missing something. And, you know, the likes of João Félix, who, you know, I personally love, and I think he's a wonderful footballer, and he just wasn't really sparking into life. And then he got an injury and it all just seemed to be not right. And just as the break happened, it felt like he was coming good. And so I'm intrigued to see if he can be the spark for that Atleti side. I mean, look, they're 1 point off. Yeah, off Sociedad in fourth, 2 points off Sevilla in third. I still see them finishing in a Champions League spot, but I think they do need some sort of spark. And I'm interested because, you know, Simeone will have suitors, of course, because look at the job he's done there has been absolutely, you know, nothing short of incredible in so many ways. But you know, I always thought that his next move would be Inter, given the situation, given the history he has with the club. And yet, Inter are in the middle of their own rebuild project under Antonio Conte. So for him to kind of move on, I'm kind of struggling to see right now where he'd go, because there aren't that many clubs of a higher stature than Atleti looking for a new manager, and especially not ones who are looking to play in a style that Cholo has made his own. So that I think I don't think his time is coming to an end at Atleti unless he wants it to. But I do think they've drawn way too many games, and I think that if João Félix can be that spark, then they will definitely secure a Champions League spot. If he can't, then we've got a hell of a race on our hands. And you know, whether that's for the Champions League spots or for the Europa League spots, I think this is so open. And, you know, it's easy to say this as, you know, Betis are 8 points above relegation and 9 points below Europa League. And, you know, it's funny one because I think about it quite a lot and I'm like, oh, maybe we just make a late run, you know, a couple of good wins here and we could maybe sneak into seventh. And you look at that, but Valencia will be looking at this and going, well, we're 5 points behind third. We can make a run at third. And it's really tight. And, you know, like you say, I think La Liga is one of the leagues that's most intriguing right now, because there are genuine races all over the league. You know, there are races for the Champions League spots, there are races for the Europa League spots, there's a real relegation scrap, and there's a title race. So this kind of has everything going into the last, what, nine games? Yeah. We have full-on all of the things that we're excited for. And I think of all of them, it's the league that I'm excited most about, the all the different outcomes that we have kind of on the table right now.
No, it's going to be awesome. As you said, there's a full-on, you know, race for all the kind of major positions. You say, I mean, you look at relegation, Espanyol probably will be cut adrift on 20 points, but they're still in it. You know, they're still in it. They have a couple of good results, as you say, and everything can change. And I think it goes up to Valladolid, who are in 15th, I believe, with 29 points. I think they're probably on that cusp. A couple of results will do them in the world of good, really. And so I'm curious to see where this kind of Spanish league takes us. And it's probably the one with the most races, really most intriguing race. I mean, some of the big clubs, Espanyol in last place. I mean, that's a gigantic club.
Yeah.
What's going on wrong there? I mean, it's just an incredible situation, really. So can't wait to see where the Spanish league ends up. So yeah, we'll all be excited for the return of that. Now moving on, I want to move on to Italy over here.
Let's do it.
So we've got Serie A starting on the 20th. We've got the first fixture now confirmed. The fixture list came out: Torino Parma on the 20th. But there's a small matter of us, AC Milan and Juve, sorting out our second leg of the. Second leg of the Coppa Italia semi-final, and of course you have Inter Napoli in the other one. Interesting to see, of course. So I won't get too much in that because can't give too much of an opinion. But we're looking forward to that game. That's going to be a big game for us because you know, our season almost rests on Well, no rest. We're still in a Europa League race, so there's still plenty to play for. But I think it's all about the title race in Italy. Would you agree? I mean, Juve, Lazio, finally Juve after many years have pushed to the brink really here now. And Lazio, just a formidable force. I mean, led by Simeone and Inzaghi. Such a great culture they have there, team spirit. How do you see that kind of working out? Because I think it's July the 20th we're going to have Lazio.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these, isn't it? The last time that there was a real title race in Serie A was Maurizio Sarri's Napoli, you know, running against Juventus. And this time, Maurizio Sarri's in charge of Juve. So I'd be really intrigued to see how he copes with being the leader rather than the kind of upstart challenger, because that really seemed to suit him in Italy. You know, it really seemed to suit the way that he played, the kind of swashbuckling nature of that side and all of those things. So, I mean, this Lazio side are very different. You know, they are not a swashbuckling, you know, attacking flying force. They are a very well-drilled, very well, you know, rounded side that's based on a very good core of experience in the league. You know, some real talents in there. Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, as you know, Ciro Immobile up front has been a force of nature, frankly. And I think they'll push them all the way. The question is, have they got enough to topple the dynasty? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that just yet. But I am intrigued to see how they start, because if Lazio fly out of the blocks, I think that Juve might stutter. I just have a funny feeling that Juve, being away from it for so long, would just have a little bit more rust in the tank. You know, there's a lot of players there who are not reaching the end of their careers. I wouldn't be, you know, foolish enough to suggest that these are players that are past it at all. But they are, you know, they've won the title for a long time here. And, you know, there is that kind of sense of, when will this end? And I'll be so intrigued to see if, you know, the old heads, the experienced heads in that dressing room, Buffon, Chiellini, Ronaldo, will be able to, you know, G everyone back up to be like, right, I know we've won, you know, so many in a row, but we need to actually get this one over the line as well, because, you know, there's a danger that complacency can creep in there.
I have a funny feeling Lazio will do it. I know they. I think I was probably more confident before the break. I honestly thought if that continued that way, that the sort of momentum Lazio were on,
they were just on fire. They just don't lose.
They couldn't lose, but they had that togetherness that, you know, it's that sort of Leicester run, just something where that team, unless they were somehow lost a couple of players to injury or something that was devastating, you didn't see it. And I just thought you saw a couple of cracks with Juve. You were not convincing in any way, shape or form. Almost that Sarri effect. Have they really taken to him? Have they bought into his system and his way of work? All the stars, as you mentioned. I mean, is this something that they really want to do? And I just felt for some reason Lazio. Now this break might have come at the best possible time for Juve, or and you know, sort of slowed Lazio down a little bit, or it's something where, you know, Lazio just going to continue winning and gonna take this one. But I felt like they had an incredible momentum, and I just have a sneaky feeling Lazio.
The other thing is they're not in any other cups anymore. So, you know, they've got this kind of free slate, free run of it. And we know how much the Champions League means to Juventus. We know that bringing Cristiano in was basically a, we need to win the Champions League thing. You know, you don't bring in someone on that kind of money or on that kind of wages to win another championship if you're Juventus. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up, given that they'd won the last seven in a row when he came in. So, For them, there is that focus on the Champions League, and it's gonna be hard, because, you know, they're down to Lyon after that first leg. There's a lot kind of riding on it. They've got, as you say, the game against you guys coming up in the Coppa Italia, and given that the Super Cup went the way it is, I'm sure they're not going to be looking at that and going, that's a minor trophy. That'd be the first one to get something on the board and think, right, we need to get some silverware on the deck this season, and then we'll look at the rest of it. So that's an advantage for Lazio, I think. We've seen in the Bundesliga this week, I think especially, the effects that having multiple games in weeks has had for the first time. I think that we saw a real kind of slowdown after the midweek fixtures, where we saw a couple of really shock results. You know, the Wolfsburg absolutely hammering Leverkusen is the one that stands out. But we saw a few results where you sort of, well, that's pretty weird. And then suddenly, you know, I guess the weekend and people are, you know, you saw how slow Dortmund were to start against Paderborn. And I'll be intrigued now to see how the fixture schedule and the build-up of these fixtures affects Juventus in the run-in. Because if you're looking at that, then Lazio have the clear slate.
Yeah, also interesting to see because you can go both ways though, can't you, Jack? Because you're going to be playing every 3 days now, more or less. And Juve's squad is so deep, right? And I think if God forbid, you know, Lazio or someone that gets one or two niggles and those games start piling up, because we have the most, we have 12 games to play, you know. So it's one of those where if it's going to be a squad thing, which is it's going to be, then that's where Juve really have the edge, because they can rotate, you know, world-class player for world-class player, really. So that'll be interesting. Anything else in the Serie A that sticks out to you, kind of looking at the
There's obviously the question of Europe to settle. And I know you guys are very much in that race. And, you know, there's lots to go there. But, you know, we've seen how free-scoring Atalanta are. They're in the hunt for fourth. Roma in that hunt. And I imagine Napoli probably haven't quite given up on it yet, although I think it might be slightly outside their reach at 9 points. But you know, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of things, and there's still a couple of big derbies going on. You know, the one thing you definitely don't want if you're a Roma fan, much as you're like, right, we need to get fourth, is you can't let Lazio win the title at our.
Oh God, no! Yeah.
So there's loads of scores to be settled. I think is the really intriguing thing left. You know, like you say, 12 games left. Most teams have to play most teams. You know, there's a lot going on here. And, you know, I think that it's easy to forget that, you know, we saw Cagliari have such a good start to the season. And everyone from, I think, 11th downwards is in a relegation scrap, which is insane. You've got 10 teams in a, you know, okay, I think Brescia are probably done. But aside from that, you know, that 18th spot is going to be an absolute scramble. And I think, you know, I have my soft spots for Fiorentina still, but, you know, they're 5 points clear. That's not enough. I don't think that's enough to justify you going safety. And I think they will be okay. I don't think they will get relegated, but, you know, it's not something that's particularly comfortable as looking at that. And you go, ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that there's only 7 points between 18th and 10th. Those two, that scares me, and I think it should scare any of those teams in that bottom half. And so this is it. Like, you know, we spoke about Spain having it everywhere. I think this is another one where there's so much to play for, and people kind of, you know, I think that also in Spain, you kind of, people forget that outside of, you know, the derby of the capital and outside the Clásico and maybe El Gran Derby, they don't really, you know, there's no real grudge matches. Even you look at, you know, the Basque and that the Basque derby, and that's all quite friendly. You know, they're obviously going to want to win, but fans sit with each other. It's all kind of, you know, quite nice. And then you look at this and you think of all the grudge matches left to play in this division, and you're thinking, yeah, okay, all right, there's a lot going on here. And I think that's what excites me most about, you know, about Serie A. And, you know, Juventus still have to go to Fiorentina, and, you know, how deep that blood enemy runs. You know, you look at that and you think, well, Fiorentina aren't going to want to lose the title to Juventus or let Juventus win the title at their place either. And there's so many of those little things going on. And you're thinking, yeah, there's a lot of storylines here. And I mean, storylines are what we play for, hey?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I called this a couple months ago when this all sort of kicked off and we spoke on my podcast. I just said, I can't wait. I just want it to be a football feast, and you're going to have games every day. It's going to be an absolute.
Trying to keep up with it is going to be, it's going to be hard enough.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. We got 12 games. It's going to be an absolute free for all, because lots of things to play for, games all the time, squad stretched. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have suspensions. It's just going to be sort of a last man standing here. And, you know, I can't wait for it, especially the fact that we have 12 games to go here. So it's going to be interesting. Jack Collins joining me here from Bleacher Report, host of the Football Rank Show with our friend Sam Tai, who, you know, I'm sure is devastated he's not part of
the He's already rang me to see why he was invited, but I told him we couldn't be on too many things.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to see his face absolutely everywhere. There's no need for that. But I wanted to keep the Premier League to last. And to be honest, it's kind of the league where maybe the least amount of things are going on, because we have Liverpool as the clear champions.
Matter of time,
matter of formality, really. Yeah. Do we have a top four race? I mean, you have sort of Chelsea.
Yeah, I think we've got a top four race. Well, also, the other thing that's intriguing about that is the Man City ban is currently upheld, right? So it's actually a top five race at the moment.
So it's a top five race. That's a great point, actually. That's an incredibly great point because that stretches a little bit. And then obviously you have Chelsea at 48 points in fourth. And I think Leicester, you know, they're 5 points ahead of Chelsea. Leicester should be in a top four. I think you have Chelsea at 48 points in fourth and Arsenal in ninth at 40. So that fifth place is a bit of a carrot, isn't it? Especially for the likes of Arsenal, because normally you probably would have ruled.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Sheffield United win their game in hand. They go fifth. And I mean, they've been the feel-good story of the year. They've been the underdog story of the year. They are such a well-drilled, such a good unit. And I mean, look, one of our best friends at work, Joe, is a big Blades fan. And I think we've all been kind of, you know, all of us who aren't involved in the race ourselves, obviously, where there are fans of all the top six, basically, in the office. But for those of us who are neutral in that race, you know, Sheffield United have been the one that we've been like, go on then. You know, we'd love to see that. And Chrissy Wilder's done such a good job there. It's such a team that has been developed through the divisions. And you know, the core of it has been with them for, you know, since League One. And you look at that and you go, yeah, that's a brilliant story. Let's get Sheffield United into Europe. But, you know, even them, they'd be, I imagine, delighted with a Europa League spot. Because, you know, if you'd asked them what their priority was at the start of the season, I imagine they would have told you they were going to try and stay up. And no one gave them any, you know, real chance with the budget they had and all these things. And I think that, you know, on the whole, they've been the real kind of feel-good story. And I really am hoping that they really do give this a run right to the end of the season, because it's good for everyone. It keeps everyone engaged. And, you know, on top of that, you're looking at your Chelsea's, your Man United's, Tottenham and Arsenal both will be in that hunt. And, you know, it's often fun to support the underdog, isn't it?
Well, listen, if Sheffield United get in the Champions League spot, I mean, you've got to give Chris Wilder a lifetime contract.
Well, remember what happened to Ranieri.
What more could you do? I mean, what more could you do but winning the league? if he can't do better than that, can you? So, you know, that's just an incredible job, as you say, what he's done and what he's built at his club. And obviously his hometown club as well, which makes it even more special and sweet, I think. So, very, very cool. But I guess the meat of the race and the Premier League, maybe the relegation battle. We got Aston Villa. I mean, Norwich probably a little bit adrift again in 20th. But I think Villa from 19th to Brighton in 15th, it's a 4-point gap. So, you know, that's, I think, what's going to be the most intriguing race.
It's really anybody's game down there. And Norwich, I think, I like the way Norwich play. I like the fact that they came up and tried to stick to the way they played, but it hasn't worked. And, you know, unfortunately for them, I think they are going to go down. And I also think that when they do go down, they're going to be asset stripped, because they have some very, very talented footballers there. And it hasn't, you know, quite come off. But you look at the likes of Todd Cantwell, the fullbacks, Adams and Lewis. You look at Emi Buendia, who's been an absolute diamond in the 10. And you think, that side's going to get torn apart. And even Timo Pukki, who's done so well. And yes, it dried up a little bit, but what a start he had. And what an exciting player he was for that first half of the season. Aside from that, I mean, I know one of your old clubs, Bournemouth, right embroiled in this. I think they've had a really hard season. They haven't quite climbed to the heights that Eddie Howe had taken them to in previous seasons. And I love Eddie Howe. I think he's a wonderful manager who's done an absolutely incredible job at a club the size of Bournemouth. And to keep them in the league for this amount of time is just an incredible feat in itself. The kind of cynic in me thinks that this season was probably one season too far. And I think that if it comes to it, I think that they will be one of the three. I actually would argue that I think the current bottom three are the three that will go.
Well,
I sincerely hope I'm wrong for your Bournemouth friends as well. But I do think that bottom three right now is how I see it going.
Yeah, I mean, I really, to be honest with you, I think, as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, it's just anyone's game. I mean, I can't, Bournemouth, I'll put my Bournemouth hat on, but I can't see the favorite. You know, you just have you know, when you sometimes you look at a team like they're just too good to go down, or they have too much quality, and I think it's incredibly even. I find it incredibly tough to call. I mean, Villa have that game in hand.
It is against Sheffield United.
It is in Sheffield United, which but at the beginning of the season, you think
that's a relegation scrap with eight game lead.
That's a relegation scrap, whereas now, you know, Sheffield United are the Champions League spot. So I really don't see it. I fear it a little bit for Brighton, I have to say, just because they've been on a little bit of a free fall, to be honest. And I don't know. I don't know if they have that something to stay up.
Maybe I think their goal difference is quite important. Their goal difference is, you know, seven better than West Ham below them, but also 10 better than Bournemouth and 14 better than Villa, which is, you know, and we forget how important that is when it gets to the end of the season. I remember Fulham staying up on the last day with Reading having to score 8 goals, and I think they were 4-0 up at half time, and I was terrified. Yeah. But, you know, you don't want to be making 8 goals up in the last day of the season. It's just not a plausible strategy, especially if you're one of the weaker sides in the division and you're in a relegation scrap. The chances are you're not going to be looking to, you know, to bang 8 past someone, you know, to save your own hide. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, normally you look at teams and you think you're too good to go down, but actually from Villa up, I think you can look at teams and you know what, even Norwich, you look at, I mentioned four players off the cuff there, you know, right at the beginning, and you think those players are talented Premier League footballers and it just hasn't quite worked out for them. But you look at Villa's squad, you look at the likes of Tyrone Mings, you look at Jack Grealish, you look at the players they brought in, and you think, probably too good to go down. But, you know, three teams get relegated every year. And that is the cold, hard facts of it. And, you know, Bournemouth's squad is packed full of talent. Watford's squad is good. West Ham have so much talent in their ranks, they can't play in them all. They have about 15 number 10s. And even Brighton, you know, like you say, a good manager who did a good job at the start of the season. It has fallen away a bit, like you say. But, you know, they started the season really well, and you started to see some really nice stuff from Graham Potter's Brighton. And yet, they're all embroiled in this relegation scrap. And, you know, it's West Ham, I think, the one that really scares me. Although Watford is a strange one. If Troy Deeney isn't coming back and you lose your captain, you lose your, you know, your anchor, and you know, fair play to him. I think his reasons for not wanting to return to football are completely reasonable and quite legitimate. And I think that, you know, you'll be able to tell them more than anyone, but people who are trying to tell people that footballers don't want to get back to playing football, you know, but baffles me. Of course they do. It's like, you know, it's a thing that seems to be that kind of repeated, but there's nothing that would make me more confused than thinking, well, you don't want to get back to doing the thing you love.
No, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't be more spot on. I just think that's the thing. We've kind of analyzed it, and I don't think we know any better which one here is a favorite or which one's going to go down. I think it's going to be fascinating. That's the race. Really, I've got my own for several reasons, but obviously, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Well, Jack, listen, I appreciate you joining me here. I hope you have all your subscriptions ready, because you're going to have Sky, you're going to have BT, you're going to have Amazon, you're going to have BBC. So I hope you're going to have Premier Sport, La Liga TV. I mean, I hope it's all up to date. That's all I can say, because you're going
to
be in an
a whirlwind. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Yeah, I'm going to have to re-kick off a couple of the subscriptions, I think. But I'm looking forward to it. Sam and I have been trying our hand at commentary recently, so I'm excited about expanding that a little bit outside the Bundesliga and seeing if we can take that to some other places.
That's awesome. Well, listen, guys, make sure you follow Jack. Bleacher Report Football. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. It's a great follow, and obviously listen to the Football Rank Show. I was actually lucky enough to be a guest on there once, so that was pretty awesome. So there you go, Jack. Thanks a lot for joining me, mate. Stay safe. Enjoy the upcoming football feast we have coming here for the month of June, and I guess July as well. And
yeah, thank you so much for having me, Asmir. It's been an absolute pleasure. I loved it.
Thank you. What a great chat we had with Jack Collins there from Bleacher Report. He's awesome. Like I said, I was lucky enough to be on the Football Rank Show last year. And you know, those guys are really, really cool guys and know what they're doing. So that was a great episode. Can't wait for this football to come up. You know, we've been all starved for sports. June's going to be a big month for the restart of sport. You know, hopefully we'll get some more positive news out of the States as well, with maybe baseball, with the NBA coming back. Golf is back in a few days. So slowly but surely, sport is coming back, which makes all of us sports not absolutely delighted. And you know, glad to see the whole pandemic getting under control all over the world. So no huddle this time. We're going to get some questions in next time. We're a little bit tight for time. for this week, but we'll get some more questions in for next week. So make sure you get them, you know, send over, guys, slide into my DMs, whatever you need to do. Get your questions in and make sure you keep listening to us, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Please leave us a review. It always means a lot. And I'll be back with you guys very, very soon.